Hello, welcome to another show and tell podcast thing. First of all, we should have our theme tune, which we play by Martin White, who does not speak. He only uses the accordion as his mouthpiece, and sometimes his mouth as well, but I prefer the accordion. Is that the theme we're having this week?
Yeah.
That's right, it's jaunty. It is jaunty, I quite like that.
I like it.
That's Josie Long's voice. We were having this discussion on the way here when we were told by someone who's a professional in kind of broadcasting stuff, they started in hospital radio so they know how it all works, that you officially will be called a side chick.
Yeah, what I'm going to do is I'm going to giggle at things that everyone else says.
Yeah, and then every now and again throw in something nonsensical.
Yeah, and then everyone will go,
That is such an easy gig.
Right, that's Rod Gilbert's voice.
I'm a side Rod Gilbert.
Rod, who's been specially chosen to make sure that there's an international feel to it because you have a resonating kind of Welsh voice.
Brogue is the word, I think.
But you do have a bit...
I'd have gone, it's a very charming voice.
That's it. Yeah, because that's what happens is the side chick, I think, says occasional things that are slightly flirty, then says something with a little bit of a joke to it, and then it kind of goes to a record, and you don't hear the fact that she's being beaten for saying too much, so the blokes haven't managed to get their facts through. Is that how radio works?
I don't think so. I think she just says sort of like a little question here. Is it? Is it really? Did you? I think it's just that. I think she just prompts you to, you know, to come up with a little bit more than you've already tempted us with.
I'll start off by saying you're wearing a Niagara Falls, Canada sweatshirt, yep. Josie Long, with all maple leaves in many different hues. Have you actually been there, or is that some kind of charity shop chic?
Oh, it's not chic. It's been... I got it when I was 12 in a charity shop, and I like to keep a thing until it falls off me.
Are you the same size now as you were when you were 12?
If anything, I'm smaller.
Really?
I'm a very obese child.
Really?
It's disgusting. I had like so much face. It looked like the face had been stuck onto my face. It was like... It was like all squashed up.
Yeah.
Did your parents do it deliberately? Was it like, you know, the way that supposedly travelling folk in the past, when they had children, they used to encase them in clay pots, their bodies, so their bodies wouldn't grow. So then they'd have a big head and a little body and they could sell them to circuses. Right, that's the rumour.
Right, well, I haven't heard that rumour.
So did your parents deliberately force feed you in the hope that one day Billy Smart would come round and go, who's the wobbly child? Imagine putting them in a cage above a trapeze artist.
My mum tried to. She never done any of that. She just didn't understand about nutrition.
So you just agreed.
Was the neck hole the same size on that, or have you had to sew it up and tighten it up since losing all the weight?
It's the same.
It's the same.
The thing is, I say losing all the
weight. So you used to squeeze your enormous head through it when you were a 12-year-old?
Yeah. The giant face would sort of cling
to it. Grating your face through a jumper.
And then I'd bring it out. And it was also hairier as well, because I didn't know about, like...
Wow, you really were
You didn't know about being a child.
I was nasty looking.
So that's why the circus didn't pick you up, because you were too confusing. You were everything. You should have just been a weird fat child or one of those hairy-faced children that they get in South America, but you were overdoing it.
I had those crab hands as well.
You deliberately ignored the laws of puberty.
Grady Stiles.
I brought something. You know,
Lobster Boy. It's lobster.
Yeah.
Lobster hands. Grady Stiles, Lobster Boy.
Oh, you've got a hand
I've got virtually Lobster Boy. I'm the closest thing in this room to Lobster Boy, that's for sure. Yeah, webbed fingers, yeah.
Did you get teased for that?
Yeah, by my parents. My mother called me Man from Atlantis and Fish Fingers for about the first 10, 15 years of my life.
Okay, right. Can I ask you this? What? Can you swim better?
I was like a proper, really good, fast swimmer until about the age of girls.
So what were you... Was it before because you were swimming away from girls? You were scared of girls?
No, I discovered girls and gave up swimming. But I was a proper fast swimmer until about the age of 13, 14. Really good swimmer, yeah. And who knows, eh? Who knows, maybe it is because of that.
I like the fact you always lie about your age. Because I accidentally once introduced you... You
never lie about my... I've never lied once about my age.
I once introduced you as saying it's quite nice... You'd won, I think, BBC New Act or something. I said it's quite nice when someone's won a competition and when you've been doing comedy for years and they're actually older than you. So they're new, but they're older than you. Right. And you had to come on, and because your show was pretending that you were like born in 1984 or something, and it was ruined.
Oh yeah. Well, last year's show was called 1984, and I did that just obviously to use the convenient, you know, to nick the currency that George Orwell gained, and but then it was all about my childhood, and of course in 1984, really, I was about 16.
Yeah.
So that was inconvenient. Yes.
Did I affect kind of things like T4 and stuff like that? Because I could see you, you know, doing T4 thing, or perhaps a BBC Three young person's like music show or something.
Yeah. Looking at I am here today because of you. Yeah, for more than one reason. A, you invited me. B, you ruined my career.
You're the oldest man in the world.
I am
Look,
the oldest
the
man
fattest,
in comedy.
Hairiest child. Accordion man. He has accordions growing out of his hand. Well, he's...
Oh, I'd love it.
I go for auditions.
There's
me, Bruce Forsyth, and Bob Hope.
Josie,
what,
you
show and tell.
Oh, there's a show and tell thing.
What's
just
show
before
and tell?
We,
I don't know about this show.
There's just you didn't read your message. Don't worry, no one ever does.
My message is normally a long email from the producers telling you all about what's going to be on. What did I get? A text an hour
ago. I sent you a text going, yeah, bring him in a show. It's fine.
You didn't say bring him in a show.
Yeah,
I can show you the text.
You
I brought
are...
the text. I can show you that.
Just talk about.
How about I show you the text and then?
Text was you are freak question mark. Thanks, mate. M8. Robin, you had to decipher.
I didn't get that.
No, I'm just.
Well, you've made me, but you've already shown something because the idea was to show.
Well,
something
I've shown you my
shown
webs. Yeah,
you've got a webbed hand.
Mm. Or I can show you the text that you sent me and tell you're an idiot.
Well, no. Oh no, I don't think anyone would need evidence that I was an idiot.
Right, okay,
the, you know,
yeah,
the text
right.
would be merely icing on the idiot cake. Now, right. Josie, we actually got a cab down here. It was amazing because something happened that went a little bit wrong, and we got a cab down, which was about 500 metres, but we had to go around a one-way system, and the door slid open and closed mechanically, and you were shocked by it. Is that the best thing you've seen this week?
No, I've got this thing.
Well, what I want to know, because you did look really, you kept trying to open and close it, and you could see the driver was really cross because he was going, it's like a robot car, don't touch it like that. And it was almost like you were abusing his car as if it were some kind of girl or...
I do love, that sounded a bit like, what are you saying, crazy things? But that's good for like my role as the sidekick in...
Side chick.
I still get fascinated and excited by any minor technological things, anything. Chip and pin still makes me feel like the future. Just like, well, how would you possibly know just from that? It's beautiful. Like I'm paying in cyber credits.
Is there anything you wish that you feel that you've been misled about the future? Is there anything that you're still waiting? What do you want from the future?
I'd like some more hover technology.
It's weird though. Hover technology has gone backwards, hasn't it? Because now there's the Channel Tunnel. There's not even the hovercraft to go over there.
There is still hovercrafts, isn't there?
No, I don't think so.
Oh God, this is like Father Christmas.
So we've kind of gone back. So Rob, what do you?
Well, I don't know, but as you said that the exciting technology thing, there's something. I'm so tired that I can't remember because I've just got home. But there was something in the last few days that blew my mind and everybody's mind around me. Some technological thing, and I'm going to try and think of it. It was amazing, but where was it?
Oh well, what we'll do is we'll come back. We'll do an edit. And then we'll put this in.
Fact,
I don't even need to say this because people won't realise. That's what I was going to say. Martin, can you come up with a kind of Jerry Seinfeld-style sting so that we can put that over all the bits that go wrong and people won't realise that there's actually been a passage of time of like half an hour of us talking things, absolute drivel, beyond the drivel already.
I could just do like the end of the theme sheet.
Go on. So you see, that will cover the point in which you're trying to remember what the future bit of technology was.
What was it?
That's all right.
I genuinely can't remember. That's the problem.
You don't need to keep playing. We'll just try it again and see if it works.
Jog Rod's memory.
Was it musical?
Right.
Was it a musical thing?
This is going to come in really handy because we're going to have to cover up all this just humming and haring from Rod.
So I just think while you two chat for a minute, shall I?
What have you brought with you?
I brought this. It's a photograph. I thought it'd be the best thing for this medium.
Well, we can put it on a website or something so people can see it.
A photograph of me when I was about 6 or 7, and I'm dressed as a lion. Can you see that? And my mum's obviously said, go on, make a face like a lion. And I've gone, you can already see I was already getting on the overweight side with a big face. And the costume, I don't know where she got it from. Yeah, exactly. But it was itchy and stank and was too small for me. But it didn't have any claws.
It looks a bit manky, it has to be said.
Yeah.
But the whole room does.
But what? That is my parents' bedroom. Oh.
Is that your parents' bedroom?
Yeah. But
God, how times have changed. Look at that.
It's long gone.
Look at that. That is like something in St. Fagan's Welsh Museum of Welsh Life.
What's
St. Fagan's Museum
of Welsh Life?
I'll have you know, we're very middle class.
St. Fagan's Museum of Welsh Life is a row of houses in near Cardiff in South Wales where they've reproduced houses from each decade of the early 20th century. And that, I would guess, would equate to something around 1930.
So technically it's a Welsh
when was
street.
It?
1930.
Actually.
Oh, you mean no, they've recreated.
It's not just a Welsh street, but they put a sign on it, pretending it's a museum.
They've built a street rebuilt, like, you know, like Coronation Street is right, it's like that, but it's a museum and each house is reproduced in a different decade, and that looks like 1930 to me. Is there a little black kettle on a arga thing?
I'd say it's the World War II years there. So did they dress you as a lion? Because why have you not got lion feet? You've just got your own feet.
If you notice, I don't have lion feet, and look on my
hands. Very odd. The extremities are very odd because you've got two oven gloves.
Oven gloves, that's
two oven gloves,
say.
One barefoot, and a massive turnip. It's very odd.
It doesn't look, it looks more like a bear.
It's a lion, there's a tail. But
you look like a lion who's been surprised in the middle of the night and not got time to dress fully.
Surprised in the middle of cooking a steak.
In the middle of
cooking,
doing a cake.
But why are they giving me oven gloves? Like, my fingers would be better.
Well, maybe they didn't have any realistic lion paws in the house.
But it's
a 1930s house, remember?
Is it because you were dressed actually as a bear and they were training you to dance? Because obviously we found out your parents wanted you to be part of the circus with your hairy face, being really like fat as well. Yeah. And then when Jerry Cotton, or whatever he's called, was coming round, they dressed you as a bear and then put you on hot plates to teach you how to dance.
That's
why you're wearing oven gloves. So if you fell off the hot plates when your feet were being burnt, your hands wouldn't get burnt as well. So no one would know in your street, in your 1930s street in St. Wagons or whatever.
But maybe they could have put it in you in as a lion, and people could have stuck their head in your mouth. Although, by what you're telling us about as your teenagers, that would have been dangerous. Am I right?
That would have been very dangerous. That would have been the closest I've come to any kind of affection.
What's for dessert?
If you can see as well, if you look at this, there's a mirror here.
You just drop in something really tragic there, Josie.
Probably.
Like,
did you? Oh, I didn't mean to. It's just looking at the picture. It's so bleak.
Before you say anything, Martin, can you continue with some bleak music underneath?
Some Eastern European, but look at that house.
Josie now, in people's mind's eye, I imagine, looks like, you remember those things they had outside shops, which would be a plaster cast child in calipers that you put a coin in the box because, you know, for poorly children. But hairier and fatter, obviously.
Why have they put oven gloves on me? I can't get round the oven gloves.
I've explained because you were dancing on hot plates, but you've blanked it out. So unless, when you fell.
Unless they're saying that a lion's paws are so dangerous, I have to put a mitt on them.
Maybe they're protective gloves. Exactly. To stop you scratching the furniture.
Yeah, exactly.
Do you know what young lions are like?
Are you
especially
sure
that
they
furniture?
Are
you don't want to ruin that.
They're definitely oven
They're not
gloves.
Just enormous fat hands that look like oven gloves.
Well, maybe they were the only gloves that would fit my giant
look at that.
Child hands.
At least you've got normal hands. Let's have a look at
them. You must have a hell of a time with gloves.
I can't wear gloves. I genuinely cannot wear gloves. My ex-girlfriend used to have to, because I used to ride a motorbike, she used to have to cut the top of the fingers bit off, and then cut the, what do you call it? Help me out here. You know where gloves fit your fingers like that?
Yeah, the fingers. The fingers. Fingers.
She'd cut the finger part down the bottom and sew it up the top there, re-sew it up the top, so the middle two were one finger.
Oh, you see, I wish that you had like a big Harley Davidson, you had a motorbike, but because of your weird finger joints, that you had to wear little mittens on the end of a piece of string. So you'd be all dressed in leather and then some little pink mittens, not dissimilar to Josie's oven gloves.
They would attach to my little woolen hat.
Yeah, so actually, Josie should have had your motorcycle gloves and you could have had her mittens to drive around on.
It would have been perfect. I know, but we didn't know each other back then.
And at any point, if you needed to touch a hot engine, no stress.
Why were you dressed as a lion, though? Was it a special occasion or just a treat, generally? We'll let you dress as a lion.
I think it genuinely was a treat. I could think my parents
went,
like a treat. You've been very good, now you can dress up as a lion. But I hadn't been that great, because I didn't get the feet. I assume the feet are like the coup de
grace. Yeah, because
you didn't win the whole outfit.
You didn't. Oh, basically, you had a tail and very little else.
Is there a tail on it?
Yeah, there's a tail hanging off. There's no lion's mane, really. There's kind of the lion's mane's dropped off over the years that you were.
That's true.
Up.
It was like a 50s costume, I think.
You look quite frightening, though.
What do you feel about past versions of yourself and future versions of yourself, right? Because I went on a holiday to Greece with my boyfriend in September and I realised that I hate the future me, right? That's why I'm allergic to wheat and I know the next day it's going to make me all depressed. But I just think, oh, fuck the future me, fucking idiot, I'll eat all this, yeah, bad. And I deliberately get sunburnt because I just think, whatever future me, deal with it, you know? But I have this wistful longing for past me. Like, past me when I was 16, I think, oh, she's so much cooler than me.
Do you mean when you say past me, you mean you wish you were the person who wasn't going, ow, my face is all burnt?
Well, no, But also, like, past me, like, who you were when you were 16. Because I was thinking before about whether or not I could beat my past self in a fight. Mm. And I thought that, like, I could obviously beat my 9-year-old self in a fight. just go there straight down. Then I might give myself epilepsy for the future.
But is that why you're dressed in a lion's costume? Is that actually you travelling back, knowing full well that your 24-year-old self is going to go back to your semi when you were 9 years old? Don't giggle at the word semi, Josie.
Can't help it.
Your dad used to have a semi. We've got a picture of you, dad's semi, and suddenly you're giggling as if it's rude. Your dad's semi's quite decrepit now, isn't it?
He had to sell it.
Past you would never have giggled at that, you know that.
Past me would have been too fucking cool for school. She'd have been all like...
Were you cooler? Yeah.
I think I was much cooler when I was younger because I was more reckless. Like, I used to go to music gigs and just try and get beaten up. I like having that music. Am I being too boring?
No, it's good. We're just trying to work out.
Well, I don't know. I've never thought... I don't think of myself as in this kind of time... In these time things, I don't think... I've never really thought about past me as an idea or, you know...
Well, what about you when you were...
Certainly never articulated to myself like that. Go on.
Well, what about you when you were 16, right?
Yeah.
Do you think if you met you when you're 16 now, would you like you or would you think you were a dick?
You're dressed in your mittens, remember? You've
I don't
got your
know.
Mittens
I find it quite hard to divorce myself from me, you know.
Or would you be so
to separate out my personality and the rest of it. I don't know. Yeah, I imagine I would. Yeah, I imagine you'd have to. Did you read that thing the other day that said that most people, they reckon that the face you find most attractive is your own? Did you read that thing?
No.
They've done some research recently where they, for example, Josie, they would show you 100 men's faces. Mm. One of those faces, unbeknownst to you, would be your own face morphed into a man's.
Ooh, man's
so imagine your 12-year-old self, hairy face. Probably a bit like that. Probably a bit like that, except older.
Right.
So they'd show you 100 faces. One of them would be your own face morphed into a man's.
Sexy.
And statistically, it kind of came up that most people found the most attractive face they found was their own.
God.
Yeah, so quite interesting. See, and I think that applies to me and my own personality in the past. I think I would probably quite like myself. But
so
it would be for some weird fucked up reason. Not that I was a nice person.
Oh, I see.
Or cool.
See, I don't reckon I would have liked, because I had a constant line of self-loathing. I suddenly got worried
too.
The other day, I don't know if you've had this, where, perhaps not, but I realised that I possibly was just about to hit my midlife crisis, but I realised I wasn't over my teenage depression either.
You must have had your midlife crisis years ago, Robin.
No, I'm much younger than you.
And that's not a comment about your age.
It's not a comment
about your age, it's a comment about just, you know.
Well, that's what I'm not sure. Did my midlife crisis start when I was 13 years old, but I thought it was a teenage crisis, but in fact, it's just one midlife crisis, or is my teenage crisis merely overlapping into my midlife crisis?
Well, I don't know. You seem to be somebody who enjoys crisis.
Yeah, that might be it.
So I would just say that your whole life is a crisis.
Well, this is good though, because you're the only one so far who's held up your hand as self-love, self-loathing. That's the different things in comedy.
Is it?
Yeah. Either you go out there and go, look at me, everyone, look at me.
Yeah.
I'm brilliant. Look at me talking about edgy shit.
Yeah.
Or you kind of go out there and go, oh dear, and you know.
No, yeah, I think with me it's a combination too. Like I go, everybody look. Oh, please don't look. I'm sorry. I'm really sorry. Everybody look. I'm really sorry. I didn't mean to be so rubbish. Yeah.
So you're kind of waving and shouting, but crying
everybody's
as well,
doing
shoving
that.
People away.
Yeah. Everybody does that. And
Yeah,
in my mind, that's well documented, isn't it? That we're the most confident, the least confident, the most self-loving, self-loathing. You know, we're polarised entirely.
Yeah.
I'm the most, you know.
Well, that's what I've... Because I went out to Northern Ireland and I had one of... I've had weird gigs in Northern Ireland, right? Mm. The first time I ever played the Belfast Empire.
Oh, God.
Have you done that one?
I've done it twice.
Because I had the first time I ever did it, Patrick Kilty, the TV presenter, he used to be a comedian, and he did this thing where he introduced me. It was Christmas week and the gig had been... everyone had been drinking since 3 PM. So really drunk, and even he was... you know, not having a great time. And he just kind of introduced me.
Blimey,
and now from London. And it just kind of resonated across the whole room. And then I got booed on. And they hadn't seen me before, so it wasn't a past memory. But I just couldn't work out how to deal with that. I quite enjoyed it. I stood there with people just shouting. I stayed on for 10 minutes extra because I thought then they'll feel punished. Initially, they'll just think, oh, it'll be great, we'll boo the English bloke off. Mm. And then go, oh, we're getting really bored and angry, we've run out of stuff to chuck. But kind of actually walking on to being booed is quite weird, isn't it?
I imagine it is. I've never had it.
I swear, I didn't get... Because I did this gig in Armagh.
I quite often, you know, walk on to hundreds of people doing sheep noises and stuff like that, you know, if I'm introduced as Welsh. That's why I usually ask not to be introduced as Welsh, because at least I can manage my own introduction of it at some point.
That is a weird...
It's not like people booing you on. No, it's different.
But there is a comedy rule, isn't it?
You know,
when someone does that, where are you from? And if you're not... from, you know, if basically if you're not from right in London, in the middle of London, if you're, unless you live in Nelson's Column, wherever you say, someone will just go, oh yeah, sheep shagger, or ding 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 ding. Yeah, oh yeah, yeah. You all shag each other, don't you?
Where do you live?
Peckham Rye. It's really
cool. Miles out. Where's that?
Why is this in zone two?
Exactly. 10 minutes zone from two. London. That's zone two. I live in zone one. Where do you live then?
I live way out, you see. I live far enough out that I'm above all of you. You know, I've moved out to somewhere where there's the remnants of a broken castle and an Art Deco cinema and stuff, and the Oxfam's got really good books.
Oh, wow. Where's that?
It's a place called Berkhamsted.
No, what you should have said is like...
What do you mean? Oh.
It's near Tring, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Exactly.
Trim, and Hemel, within Leighton Buzzard.
Yeah. Tring, that means it's within walking distance of a natural history museum, which I went to when I was 3 years old.
It's a good museum, yeah.
It is. It's got a big well.
My granddad used to live there.
Who did?
Moved from Aberdeenshire to Tring, my granddad. Married again and at about 70 years old and moved to Tring.
Did you ever go and see it? They've got things like...
I went to Tring a few times. It's lovely.
You see the fleas? They've got dressed fleas. That's one of the pinnacles of Tring Natural History Museum. You look in a little magnifying glass and they've got fleas.
Have they been there for 20 years?
At least, more.
Yes, right. I remember them, yeah. Because I wouldn't have been there for 20 years. Because 25 years. 30 years, maybe.
They've got a gorilla. Because downstairs is quite good. Because downstairs has all got Victorian stuffed animals. So some of them are beginning to fall apart a bit. And I also like the fact that in Victorian times, people used to go, how can we stop the working man drinking and living a terrible life? We could build a museum with a stuffed llama in it and things like that, and they'll go to that instead of boozing up.
And it worked.
Yeah, it did. For 20 years, men eschewed booze and went for...
Stuffed llamas.
I saw the gorilla. There's a gorilla skeleton there. And for some reason, when I was 2.5, I said to my mum and dad, which they told everyone, and now my nieces know about as well, when I saw the gorilla skeleton, I went, why has that old lady got no clothes on? What an idiot.
That wasn't an old lady, that was you.
That was free. Josie Long, when the circus didn't buy her, she'd prize her way into different Victoria Museum's cabinets just so she could show off, waving and crying.
If you'd have pressed the button, I would have gone, why, hello. Sorry.
Talking of museum exhibits, I saw a great one in South Africa the other day, an educational exhibit trying to educate kids on to be more environmentally conscious and stuff. And it was about water conservation. And it was in the aquarium in Cape Town. And it was all quite dull and boring with, you know, like it was puppetry, marionettes kind of little things. And it was all quite dull. And then this singing, dancing turd swung from the back of the display with bright, luminous lights coming out of his thing and sang a song about flushing different stuff down the toilet, and it was brilliant.
Oh my.
Absolutely brilliant. The kids stood around it, just didn't bat an eyelid at this thing. We were in hysterics.
You see, when I was a kid, I would have found that intensely embarrassing. When I was about, between the age of about 5 and 20, I was so acutely embarrassed by anything like that. Any sort of like toilet humour I despise.
Any singing turds.
Yeah, that would have just, oh my God, I would have been almost sick. But I think now I don't know what's happened in the last couple of years. I've just suddenly gone, hey, it's funny, someone's saying the word fart and it's funny. Yeah. I think that's bad.
Can you remember roughly how the song went? Because then Martin could play along.
I can't remember at all how the song went. No, I can't. It was over in an instant, but he just hove into view. It was the way he burst onto the scene. You know, there was quite a mundane scene about, you know, it was a couple of kids talking to each other about what they flushed down the toilet and stuff, and maybe laughing and joking about flushing cigarettes and this, and then this turd just burst through the wall, actually, like something from the A-Team, burst through the wall with, like, you know, plaster and bricks flying everywhere and dust, and then just sang this song about how they shouldn't do that. I can't remember how the song went. We can make something up if you want.
Was it as jaunty as that? Was it kind of excremental jaunt?
It wasn't as excrementally jaunty as that, no. No.
I just love the fact
he was more serious. He wasn't mucking about.
So he's a wise poo.
He wasn't wise. He wasn't wise and he wasn't jaunty. He was pissed off, but just the right side of it, that he was still there to inform rather than just antagonise and kind of reprimand.
He was knocked, but he had that sort of...
I don't know if you can recreate that in a turd form.
Try it, Martin.
And try and get the eyes in, the flashing lights somehow.
That's good. Oh, I like that.
Yeah. Trying to get the dissonance in.
That's kind of got a mixture of things. It was kind of cartoonish, but it was like as if Hitchcock had made a short film about an angry, murderous poo. So, I've never actually seen an anthropomorphised poo. But I've only ever seen those anthropomorphised kind of condoms. You know that they always do that. There's that.
Oh yeah.
Probably doesn't sound quite as startling.
He didn't have a belly button, did he, Hitchcock?
Really?
No. So that means Alfred Hitchcock's an angel then. He must have been an angel, because angels don't have belly buttons.
Well, there you go.
You can see why he was thrown out of heaven, though, because he used to look through keyholes at girls undressing and stuff. That's not...
We've all
so in one way he was an angel.
Did he really?
Yeah. You it's all right, it's been chronicled.
You mean he got caught?
It's not slander. Well, supposedly that's what he used to do with when he'd go, oh, you're the pretty blonde girl. I'd like to cast you in the movie. Just pop in there. Just why is there a big keyhole in? Oh, I don't know. And then it was just big enough to kind of fit.
I don't know.
That keyhole's about big enough to fit a movie camera, isn't it? I wouldn't have thought so. I won't look. Put the camera in there. Pop them off. I think that's roughly what he did. I might be wrong. But I wanted to ask you, Jesse.
I'm kind of envious in a way.
What, about the fact that a man might...
Like, it will be Mr. Gilbert.
Oh, I haven't got Hitchcock's charisma.
Happy fun house. And then you
happy
go...
Happy fun house, yeah. Where you strip off.
Would you like to go in this room? Yeah. Like, the keyhole looks a bit big. Well, it's all kooky proportions. Okay.
Ah, yeah, good idea, yeah.
You'll be fine.
Everything's made of sponge. So, yeah, great.
Why is this a two-way mirror?
I don't know. I won't look. That would be his catchphrase. Don't worry, I won't look. I just keep thinking of the poo thing. Why do do you think anthropomorphised things? Because you know, I was thinking of those other things. You know, there used to be things like Peter Prophylactic, who would tell you about, and so a condom would suddenly get eyes and a mouth and go, don't forget to put me on when you're having sex.
That
otherwise,
would scare me. I wouldn't want like just what if it did come alive and that might give you some kind of infection.
So do you think anthropomorphising things is good or not?
You're blurring the lines of reality and fantasy again, just as usual. What? Do I think what?
So do you think, rather than just go, here's a picture of how shitty the sea is or whatever, by having a talking angry poo, do you think the children will have thought more?
Of course.
Or do you think that they'll get
Of course,
confused?
I think it's the old advertising idea. What was the old advertising acronym that they used to use to, you know, that first you have to get people, you know, you have to... Get people's attention before you deliver your message. And I think, you know, an anthropomorphized poo crashing through the wall like an A-team thing gets their attention more than...
I was just going to mention, so I think we've cleared that up, the anthropomorphizing poo. Have you got a favourite?
I think it's impact, yeah. I think, you know, I think it's just the right level of impact to deliver a message. Perfect.
But I think
except I've forgotten the message, so I suppose there we go. I'm.
No, you didn't. You remember the message saying don't put.
But I don't remember the actual song.
The poo wants to go down the toilet, but just not the other thing.
Exactly.
Is that right?
Yeah.
He
was being quite
I
territorial.
Live.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. He was by being quite territorial. Yeah.
Right. I don't know if that was it.
I go down the poo. Nobody else does. This is my manor. Get off my land. All that kind of stuff.
Rod, have you remembered that thing?
No.
Oh, balls.
No, maybe it was the poo. Hey, maybe it was something that blew our minds this week. What was it? What have I been? I've been to airports.
I think that sounds like something pretty amazing from the future, though. I mean, I'm sure you were thinking of a robot thing or something like that, but talking poo I think works. But I was just telling you about the Belfast gig, and I was going to say that I had the worst... I did Armagh while back. I mean, this is worse than the semi joke. I did our ma.
Is that what you were?
See how she kept back.
Side chick. This is great side chick stuff. This is now. This is brilliant.
Oh,
side
come
chick
on,
stuff.
That's so funny.
Come on, nobody could not laugh at that.
For 12 years, I don't find poo or anything like that funny. Then, when you got to 20, anything. The fact that you know the whole thing about the local kids used to chuck stones at your dad's semi and. They used to try and knock his dad's semi down, but they'd throw anything at it.
Yeah.
And then at Christmas, her dad would cover his semi in lights so that all the children would come around and have a look at it. It's true.
My dad is really religious and would be
is it
really
true your
upset
dad
if
his
you
semi
guys
through?
Were talking about his semi.
We're talking about
Although
his semi. What's wrong
what?
With a religious
the
man?
The semi that he sold, he's now got a new semi in Rochester.
So, I mean, wherever he goes, he always has a semi, though, doesn't he?
He's thinking about extending it.
He's going to knock it through.
He's
going to knock his semi through to the neighbours.
So horrible.
Anyway, I was talking about when I did our ma, right? As you...
I'm sorry.
But I just wanted to find out the worst... Because I had one of those moments where I was on stage and it was kind of going all right, but I could see that some people were going with this, I don't like this. And then this bloke stood up. And he said, look, what does it say back there? And behind me, it just said, like, Robin Ince comedy or something like that. They projected on. And I went, oh, no, Robin Ince comedy. And he went, you're a disgrace. That's probably the worst put
Why
down.
Why did he say you were a disgrace?
I don't know. He didn't like what I was talking about.
He was posing in front of something that, that said Robin Hinson comedy in the same sentence, presumably.
Yeah, and I hadn't asked for that. I
you have
Robin
no
Hinson,
right.
An experiment in avant-garde conversation, which would then mean any laughs would, you know, like an extra. And I was just wondering, what's the worst gig that
I haven't really got anything really bad. You know, I've done tough ones like everyone. But I haven't got anything really bad. I've done a few corporates I think it's worse than, because most people's bad gig stories are around heckles and getting booed up, you know, that kind of thing. Whereas my worst ones are just, you know, dying on your ass in front of 400 people in a big corporate where you're getting paid a lot of money and it's just really embarrassing and you just sort of slope off apologising.
Because I went out, I did some in Bosnia with the Stranglers, and I had to go on after the Dancing Girls, and it meant that all these girls kind of dancing somewhere like No Doubt in flesh-coloured, you know, things, whatever. And so they were all doing that, and all the men were kind of going, and then I'd have to walk on, and they were still, you know, without going back to your dad's
that's
semi.
Bad to have but, to
it's lucky you did
that's
that
bad dance. To have to finish yourself off to you
oh no, not now, this is a disaster. I like the fact that some of them weren't very good at dancing, but none of the men were very critical about choreography. That's the interesting thing about soldiers, they're more interested in the general movement than the specifics of a kind of Bob Fosse thing.
Yeah.
Josie, what was your what's
my
the weirdest gigs,
gig
you've had?
The thing with me is because my stuff is quite unreliable, I have quite a lot of gigs where people don't necessarily like it, and the problem is this is the only stuff that I can do, and so I just have to keep hoping I'll get better, basically. But the worst gigs I've ever done have been the first gig I ever did overseas was in Barcelona, and I was so excited about it, and it was with two guys who are lovely guys, really good comics, and I got over there, but it was on the day of the 7th of July attacks, and I ended up missing my plane, and I ended up sort of coming through Liverpool Street just as they were happening, and it was horrible stress. I got there, and when we got there, we sort of, it transpired that the hotel that we were supposed to be staying in was in fact an old lady's house that I was staying in, the child's bed. Turns out that the free food...
Sorry, I didn't know you were so fat and hairy.
The free food was like one free meal 3 days in. It was just a nightmare, and the other two guys are a lot more conversational comics than especially at the time I was doing stuff that was very deeply like weird stories, and the other guys were great and they really got the crowd on side, and by the time I came on, we did three nights, the last night was the worst one. It was all these men, the bar was like a weird front for something. I never really got to the bottom of it, but there were loads of men at the back of the room snorting cocaine off of keys from bags, like massive bags of coke. And it's just one of those things, those people don't want to hear a 7.5 minute long confectionery based rock anecdote.
Well, we never got. I got attacked by a Klingon at Glastonbury, but I won't go into that. That was a bit disastrous. And I think we've got to finish now. But I was going to. The one thing we were going to talk next time, we're going to talk about ants. Because
about what?
Ants.
Oh, right.
Because I was reading a thing by Edward O. Wilson, I think he's an evolutionary biologist, and I just like the fact he was saying how good ants are at living and how they've got a great way of living, and he and actually that the weight of ants on the Earth is greater than the weight of humans.
How big is it?
Robin Ince's show and tell. It says here it was devised by Robin Ince, but it was just a conversation really, so I didn't devise the nature of conversations. And it was produced by Sarah Mahoney and Helen Quigley. For more web-based entertainment, there's Paramount Comedy Shortcuts, brand new original material made exclusively for Paramount Comedy by current and rising stars of the comedy circuit. Visit paramountcomedy.com/shortcuts to check them out.